Special guest tonight is J.R. Langford. She's the author of several books, the acclaimed series of novels, and her latest one is called The Covert Messiah. A lot of them has to do, obviously, with religious background and Jesus, the Jesus theft, or thief, rather, the secret Madonna, the sacred imposter, and she joins us right now here on KFGO to talk a little bit about this book and the series in general. And J.R. Langford, thank you so much for joining us here on KFGO.
Well, thank you for asking me, Bob. It's good to be there.
The first thing I thought about when I was reading through the book is that, are there some people who say, you should be writing stuff like this because this is, you know, maybe you shouldn't be writing about religion?
Oh, well, first of all, it's fiction. So, I actually, to tell you the truth, when I first had the idea for this novel, I had exactly that thought. My husband and I are both electrical engineers, and we just love to keep up with science. And we were watching a documentary on the Shroud of Turin, which is supposedly the burial cloth of Jesus. It's that cloth that they have at the Vatican that has an image of a man, crucified man, on it. So that's when I learned from that there really is type AB male blood on the shroud. And that's a very rare blood type here in the States or in Europe, but very common in Jerusalem. So that got my attention. And then I learned that a real scientist actually did run PCR replication on the DNA in the white blood cells in that blood. And it just blew my mind. So the concept for this just popped into my mind. A scientist who steals DNA from the shroud and tries to clone Jesus of Nazareth. But my first thought actually was, now that you mention it, I looked up to the heavens and said, oh my goodness. should I be? But then it just took possession of me.
Let me ask you about some of the main characters. Actually, I want you to explain the main characters, because tell us basically about the characters and how this thing is set up.
Well, for this book, it's book 4 in the series, The Covert Messiah. Is that what you're talking about specifically, or the whole series?
Correct.
Okay. In this book, I had been dodging the main issue for basically 10 years since I started this series, which is, well, okay, if you've got to clone Jesus, let's see him interacting with the modern world. What would he do? What would he say? What would he think of us? Well, that was a tall order, you know, because even though there's a fanciful premise to this book, everything else in it is authentic. The science on the cloning is authentic, that especially, because I knew it was going to happen, and I wanted the reader to close the book, know what cloning is, know exactly what kind of issues we're going to have to deal with here in society, and it's coming faster than we think, I can tell you that. But I wanted to do that. So how to write authentically? Well, I actually pondered this for a long time. And then I started a practice of meditation by coincidence. You know, everybody's telling us meditation is good for us, and it is. All the hospitals now are telling you to meditate, helps with whatever. And in the process of meditating and just quieting my mind, inspiration just poured in. And so I said, okay, I'm going to write it, you know. And that's what happened with this novel. Now, okay, the thing that intrigued me was, I've studied religions my whole life. I'm fascinated by what we believe and what we do because of what we believe. Mm-hmm. In my work, I had an international career. I traveled the world. I encountered so many people, cultures, and beliefs. And I realize, or I'm not the only person who saw this, there is so much in common between the supposedly different religions. The same core messages are repeated over and over again. And so I said, okay, I started exploring, okay, what is it, the one thing? Because theoretically, if there is that one God, there's got to be one truth. You know, maybe it's been interpreted in different ways. So I kept looking and looking, and this just popped out at me. The commonalities between specifically some of the things Jesus said that we actually don't believe, and beliefs that have been with human beings from the beginning of time, and you still find them in indigenous religions. So I said, okay, what I'm going to do. This novel has everybody in it, Jews, Christians, Muslims, rich people, poor people, Westerners, Africans, and I took them all to Tanzania, which is the birthplace of humanity, as far as we know, where human beings began. And this clone Jesus and his mother go on, they're all on this adventure in which we go back to our roots and find what's there that came through the ages, so to speak.
I imagine it was a difficult process to think, well, we're going to clone Christ. Who are we going to have carry the baby?
Yes, well, I spent a lot of time thinking about that. Because, first of all, the scientist, what would make him do this? His name is Felix Rossi. He's a devout Catholic, and he's wanted to examine the shroud all his life. His passion is the passion of Christ. Then when his dream is about to come true, and he gets a call from his sister in New York, and they find out their parents are really Jews who escaped Nazi Italy. So he's thrown into religious turmoil. And I had read true accounts of this happening to many people who didn't know their parents were Jews or their family was Jewish. And they're Christians, so they have to deal with this conflict. I was very moved by it when I read about him. So he is my mad scientist, so to speak. So then I had to ask of course he has to be rich, and he is a wealthy New Yorker because you have to have a lot of money if you're going to go that crazy. And so then who would carry a clone of Jesus? So I had to picture that. And so I started looking at Mary. Who was she in her time? She was on the bottom of the rung. She certainly, the Jews were not, you know, at the top of society. They were slaves, you know. And she was a very devout woman, obviously a very good woman. And then in some depictions, and I found this quite by accident in Europe, I've seen them with my own eyes now because I got on a plane and went over there, so many black Madonnas. From until the Renaissance, there were black Madonnas all over Europe. So, okay, this got me excited. I said, okay, who in America is our equivalent to Mary? And so she is a black woman. She is a very simple woman, a maid, a church-going woman. She doesn't feel special. She's not educated. Mary certainly wasn't the real one. And a few in Jerusalem at that time would have called her special because of her social station. But she has one characteristic. An absolutely firm belief that God watches over her. There's another main character in the first book, Sam. He's an Irish doorman, and he just becomes a part of the story in ways you'd never guess. So then, as I went on, I used this basic background, this basic tapestry, to just explore different characters. Different backgrounds, go to different countries, all in the context of this single story. It's all four books are one story, really. Each one picks up where the last one left off, and they tell. But I wrote it so that if you didn't read an earlier book, you can still pick up the story. You know,
that was going to be one of my questions. Would they be able to pick up one in the middle and be able to understand and follow through?
People who've read it so far, that was my intention, and the people who've read it so far have, especially this one, have no trouble picking it up. And of course, then when they finish and want to go back and read the beginning, the other earlier books, which I'm very happy about.
By the way, I was going to mention, I didn't mean to interrupt you here, but I was going to mention to you, I mean, there was even one little thing that I read here, and I thought, wow, this is, I never heard this before, but to the Swahili, when there's lightning, that means God is pleased? I don't think I've ever heard that before.
Well, of course, every culture has its own beliefs and assigns meanings to things. For instance, in Africa, black is a good color because it's the color of the earth. It's the color of the sky, clouds, when it's rained. White is bad because white is they associate with the sun, and the African sun is brutal. I mean, spend 2 seconds there and you'll find out where everybody moves slowly. So they have a complete flip-flop where here in the West, if something is evil, it's dark. You know, something. So there are many things like that in every culture. Go ahead.
I was going to say, J.R. Langford is our special guest here on KFGO. I know we don't have a whole lot of time left, but I was going to ask you, when you write your books, you know what you're going for. Do you have a beginning and an ending, or do you start and you go, I come to an ending somewhere that I can understand?
That is exactly how I write. In fact, I can't write a book. What I do is I first come up with the idea, characters occur to me, and then I do research because my books are all the locations in my books are real. If I write about anything other than the actual Jesus is a clone, it's probably real. So then I sit down and I write an opening scene and I go immediately and write an ending. Now, of course, they can change during the writing, but that gives me a framework. And if I can do that, then I know I've got a novel.
This may sound weird, but when I first started reading this, I thought, for some reason, Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Because they did kind of the same thing there, didn't they? They took the blood out of a mosquito or something like that?
Yeah. The cloning process is basically the same across species. Now, we haven't cloned dinosaurs yet, thank goodness. Although somebody's working on a mastodon, have you heard? Oh, by the way, let me not miss telling you this. Cloning, when I wrote this, when I started this, was an absolute fiction, human cloning. That is no longer the case. There was a huge breakthrough in the science reported in the June 5 issue of Cell. For the first time, scientists in Oregon have been able to produce clone human embryos that survived to the 5-day stage. And that's the all-important stage, where at that point it's either used for medical treatment, stem cells, or for research, or they are viable and can be implanted in a womb and produce a pregnancy. That has never happened before. And so now we are officially in the age of human cloning. And personally, I'm concerned. Well, I mean, in a way it's good all the quiet, because we got so excited about it in the early stages that we drove all the work offshore. Everybody went overseas and are underground, so we don't know what's going on. But it means that now this monumental thing is unfolding quietly. 6 to 9 months from now, I'd bet money. I'd bet make a Las Vegas bet that there will be cloned embryos, cloned babies.
I was going to say,
all around the world.
And the first one was a sheep, wasn't it? Was that Dolly?
The first sheep, 1996, that's right.
Yeah. And by the way, The Covert Messiah is the name of the book, but you also you have the next one all ready to go next year?
Well, I'm writing it. It's called The Enemy Apostle. And so we will just see.
Well,
straightforward.
It's a fascinating possibility. And nowadays, anything, I think, is possible. But this, as you mentioned, novel form right now, The Covert Messiah, it is just out. And what's the easiest thing to get online or at the bookstore, I'd imagine?
Well, today is the release date. So right now you can only get it online at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. That's where I've seen it. It should get to stores, but all of the books are available. If you go to any bookstore, if they don't have it on the shelf, they can order it for you.
This could make a heck of a movie, by the way.
Well, it has. I have been talking to Hollywood.
Oh, you have?
Yes. two serious interests. When I wrote the first novel, it came into my mind, I saw it in my mind just as if it were a movie playing. So I cast the parts in my mind. Russell Crowe is my Sam, and Alfrey Woodard is my Maggie. She's an actress in Hollywood. And a little time later, a brother of mine, I'm just playing, of course, because I don't know these people, a brother of mine is in New York at a function, and across the room he sees Alfrey Woodard. So he's not shy. He went up to her and said, my sister's written this book, and she thinks you should play the part. She thinks it should be a movie. Anyway, she asked me to send the book, and 8 days later she was on my phone asking to option the rights.
Really?
Wow. Talk about a miracle.
So do we know the stage of that, where it's at?
Oh, that was years ago now. Getting a movie made in Hollywood, I've since learned, can be a big, even Steven Spielberg has projects that took him 10 years to make. So it hasn't worked so far. Someone else has expressed interest, and So we'll see what happens. I've always seen the series as a movie, and I hope it comes true.
Last time I think I saw Elfrie Woodard, she was one of the neighbors in Desperate Housewives, I think, last time
yeah,
I saw
her. She was. She did do that for a while.
Yeah, very good.
She's a great actress.
Oh, I tell you what, JR, I wish we had more time. It's a fascinating book. Fascinating novel. The Covert Messiah is what it's called, out today, and you can pick up that online, but the previous books are there as well, and the new one, being worked on, comes out again this time next year. Appreciate it so much for joining us up here in Fargo, North Dakota today.
Okay, thanks for having me, Bob.